إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ولا ند ولا شبيه ولا نظير له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه صلى الله عليه وسلم. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة أي في دين الله بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، every prophet before Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent to his people. So Muhammad said صلى الله عليه وسلم. But Muhammad was sent to everybody. بعثت للناس كافة. I was sent to everybody. Every prophet before Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent to a particular tribe or a particular city or a particular region. And then after the prophet dies, people usually deviate. The Quran is teaching us about that, that after every prophet's death, people start to change and to include bid'ahs, innovations in the religion. Eventually, humanity, after every prophet of Allah, eventually worshipped idols, or worshipped the sun and the moon, or worshipped people, persons like them, a king, or even a prophet from the old time that they forgot the real message of, and eventually worshipped him. Humanity without a mentor goes astray. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, but Muhammad left with us his mentor. The mentor of Muhammad sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was a message, a book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That message was his mentor, his wife sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when she was asked after his conduct, after his death sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said his conduct was the Quran. Or I tell you what, he was a Quran walking on earth. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. And the way we do not fall into worshipping idols and do not fall into losing the message is to follow the mentor that he left sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's what he said in his last sermon. He said, I've left with you two things that if you hold on to them, you will never go astray after me. The book of Allah and the sunnah, the tradition, the example of his messenger. We have this. We have the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. Otherwise, we have no protection from going astray. The shaitan is always active, trying to bring ideas in the religion, and eventually humanity does deviate without a prophet. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets after prophets before Muhammad. He was the last one. Now, the Quran is the guidance. The Quran is the way by which or through which we do not go astray. A large portion of this ummah today has gone astray. A large portion of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are part of his ummah by name, but not by conduct. Their conduct is not the Quran. Yes, the enemies are killing Muslims, but Muslims kill Muslims more than the enemies. And yes, the enemies steal Muslims, but Muslims steal from Muslims more than the enemies. And the enemies are tyrants and so forth, but Muslims have the worst kinds of tyrants on earth. Why? Because they are not following the mentor. They are not following the book, the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. If you read the Quran, the first page is a dua. First page is the only surah in the Quran in which humans are speaking. Every other surah, there is an alternation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. Of course, the whole Quran is Allah speaking, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the speaker, you find an alternation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking and then humans making dua or a comment or somebody saying something. Surah Al-Fatiha is the only surah in which we are speaking. We thank Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, we worship you, we seek your help. And then, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. This is the height of the surah. This is why we have Surah Al-Fatiha. And then, open the next chapter, the first page of the second chapter. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You ask for guidance, this is the guidance. The Fatiha is اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. And then the Quran says ذلك الكتاب لا ريب. This is the message, this is the book. الكتاب in Arabic could be a book or a message. In this case it's a message. إنه ملأ ألقي إلي كتاب كريم إنه من سليمان وإنه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Quran talks about الكتاب as a message. This is the message, this is the book, no doubt about it. In it, there is guidance. You ask for guidance, here is guidance. We as Muslims have a very weak relation with this book today. Most Muslims don't read Arabic and don't understand the Quran when they open the Quran. And when they read Arabic, they read it in a very basic way. And they don't put enough effort in order at least to read the book and understand the gist of what is said. And it's not difficult to learn the language because many of us, including myself, came to this country, we didn't speak the language. Eventually learned the language. And then some of us wrote with the language and taught with the language and so forth. It's not difficult to learn a language. And the Arabic is a language that is easy to learn. And the Quran is a book that is easy to read. But even Arabs who speak the language are actually the least in terms of the relation with the Quran. Now I'm Arab, I can speak for Arabs, I guess. Very weak relation with the Quran. And very weak implementation of that Quran in general. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. Of course, there are so many good people. We're talking about the general case of the Ummah. And people who don't learn Arabic, they could still read the Quran through interpretations, through translations. A translation, yes, is not the divine word, is not the word of Allah, but it's pretty much giving you the meanings, or one of the meanings, or many of the meanings. And when you open the book with a translation or with an interpretation, then you start to make sense of the book, and you start to find great guidance. Even in the English language, or the French, or the Urdu, or whatever language, you will find great guidance in the book. We have a very far distance between us and the book. And we don't interact with the book. And eventually the book became something for scholars rather than for every Muslim. Even though the original message is for Muslims. In fact, it's for everybody, Muslims and non-Muslims. But sometimes we don't even allow non-Muslims to touch the book. But it is for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the book is saying, Ya ayyuha an-nas, O people, they are supposed to open it and read. This is the message to you humans. Ya ayyuha an-nas, u'budu rabbakum, the same first page or the second page. O people, worship your Lord. And here is a message, the Quran goes on. And if you can make something like this, if you can create a message similar to this, then it is not the right message. But you will never be able to create something like that. Reflect upon the message. O people, ya ayyuha an-nas. But Muslims, we did not put and do not put enough effort to interact with the Quran. We left the Quran largely for scholars. And when we interact with scholars, we ask them those small questions about what to do and what not to do and so forth. And we rarely ask the scholars about the bigger questions, the questions of life and death, the questions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the questions of the prophets, when you read the Quran, it will bring you back to the right perspective. It will bring you back to the right importance of different issues. Because issues in the Quran are not all at the same weight and not all at the same importance. There are issues in which the Quran is talking to us about them. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, thousands of verses, thousands of sides of that issue, the issue of the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are issues that are less important than the Quran mentions in passing. And there are issues that are very small details and interpretations and fatwa and all of that, that are also part of Islam, but much, much less important. We put the tree upside down and we are focusing on the leaves instead of the roots. And we are taking the branches instead of the stem. And therefore the tree is deformed and we don't see to a large extent what Islam is about because we don't read Quran enough. We Muslims don't read that book enough and don't interact with it enough. And we think that reading it is some kind of a sin. Just because some people are saying that you're not allowed to interpret or do tafsir. But we are not doing tafsir. We are doing tadbir, tadabbur, reflection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentioned in many places, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Don't they reflect upon the Quran? لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Don't they think about that book? This is for whom? This is not only for the scholars. This is for everybody. Everybody is supposed to open that book and reflect. And the reflection, as I'm saying, will put the right proportions of things in your mind and heart and will make you practice Islam properly. Because without that book, we are deviating. And without a few of the advices, perhaps, that we get from scholars here and there, we are deviating. And some of us are idol worshippers now in many, many modern ways and contemporary ways. Now, the Quran focuses on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and puts Allah in the center of your life and in the center of everybody's existence and in the center of the universe. The center of the universe in the Quran is not the human being and is not nature and is not anything. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what everything revolves around, metaphorically, obviously. When you read the Quran, it tells you about the attributes of Allah. And these attributes, if you go with the journey of the Quran, and you are guided by the light of the Quran, these attributes will have an impact on your personality, and your heart, and your conduct. When you know that Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, this is not just information. And when you see Ar-Rahmah, mercy of Allah in the Quran in many, many ways, in the creation and in the stories of the prophets and in the rules that he asked us to abide by and so many things, you find rahmah. You become a person who is merciful, something that we lack quite a bit because of the distance between us and the Quran. When you read the Quran and you know that Allah is al-qawi, he is the strong, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-mateen, he is the almighty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's al-wakil, he is the one that you can rely on, etc., etc. The Quran will mentor you through that road, at the end of which you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit to him totally. And that is a very different person who does that, because when you rely on Allah, you are a different husband, a different wife, you are a different son, a different employee, a different employer, you are a different citizen, you are a different person when you are a person who relies on Allah and fears nobody but Allah and seeks providence from nobody but Allah and so forth. The real aqidah, not the aqidah that is the philosophy that the scholars are busy with, rightly so, to defend Islam from some philosophical discourses. But that's not Islam. That's not aqidah. The aqidah is to learn about Allah and to live what you learn about Allah in your daily life. And have what you learn about Allah impact your behavior and your perceptions of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran teaches us about the prophets. These are the highest examples. Because the principles and the attributes and so on might be too abstract for us to understand mercy, to understand courage, to understand saying the truth and standing to power, etc. But when you see a prophet standing to power until he is killed, when you see a prophet telling the truth, when you see the prophet at the highest level of morality, of chastity, of honesty, and so forth, then you start to make sense out of the attributes. And you start to follow in a better way by example. That's why the Quran talks so much about the prophets. The Quran talks so much about life, al-hayah. But life in the Quran is not only this life. And that's why when you are away from the Quran, life for you is this only. But then the Quran corrects that. The Quran tells you that life is the afterlife. The real life is the afterlife. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The afterlife is the real life. And therefore, not to sit in the mosque and pray all your life. This is not the purpose here. The purpose is to be in the dunya, but for your heart to be attached to the afterlife more than this life. And to be in the dunya in order to reform the dunya and better it and make it a better place and so forth. But if you live in the afterlife more than you live in this life, again, you are a different kind of believer. You are a different kind of Muslim. When you have the afterlife and the Quran educates you, does this tarbiyah on you, so that the afterlife becomes very important in your life, and death and what's after death becomes an integral part of who you are. That is very important, something that we will miss if we continue to just live and ask perhaps about the issues of halal and haram when we need them, but we don't really look at the afterlife, at the real life. The Quran also tells you about morals and combines, in fact, morals with rules. We did the separation between the morals of Islam and the rules, al-ahkam. In Islam, the ahkam, what you should do and we should not do, sins, etc., staying away from them, this is not void of morals. This is morals. This is how Allah defines morals. And it's very important that we refer to the Quran for a moral guidance. Because sometimes under the pressure of other people with other beliefs and other lifestyles, we have a pressure on our morals, on the Quranic morals. And then you find Muslims being different in terms of the perception of the morals from the Quran, from what the Quran is defining. So zina doesn't become haram. The adultery does not become haram, or stealing does not become haram, or murder for that matter, in the name of politics or in the name whatever, doesn't become haram. And the things that the Quran is teaching us, that they define morality, the rules that define morality. The rules are not the tiny, small questions. Yes, they are important. But the bigger rules, do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not do riba, usury, a major, major crisis we have in today's world, because of usury, and read about how economies are destroyed and lives are destroyed because of usury, etc. When you look at the bigger picture of the Quran, and the Quran takes you in the journey of educating you about morality, about faith, about the examples of faith in this life, then you become a different person. When we are far from the Quran, we go astray, my brothers and sisters. And this is an advice for myself and you, to go back to the Quran. Not just to memorize without understanding, not just to read the Arabic if your language is not Arabic, but to go back to the Quran and seek guidance and seek light and seek the Quran changing your heart and changing your life in order to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behind him in his path. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولك. الحمد لله حمدا طيبا كما أمر. الصلاة والسلام على رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما طلعت شمس وما ظهر قمر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد في الأولين وصل على محمد في الآخرين وصل على محمد في كل وقت وحين وصل على محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم أحينا على سنته وأمتنا على ملته واحشرنا في زمرته. اللهم احشرنا معه كما آمنا به ولم نره. اللهم لا تفعل تفرق بيننا وبينه حتى تدخلنا مدخله. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك يا مولانا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا عيبا إلا سترته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته، ولا ضالا إلا هديته، ولا مولودا إلا أصلحته، ولا حيرانا إلا دللته، ولا عدوا إلا خذلته، ولا مجاهدا في سبيلك حقا إلا نصرته، ولا أسيرا في سبيلك حقا إلا فككته، ولا حاجة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها يا كريم. ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. أقم الصلاة، إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.